don't know if you've noticed it, but people can be the worst. Has anybody noticed that? People can be the worst. And if you don't know this, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever worked in food services? Okay, can you testify that people are the worst? I think two of my first three jobs were food services. Almost 5 years of my life was in food services. And people, I don't know what it is. We get all entitled when we go to a restaurant, like, bring me the head of a cow. You know, like, we want exactly what we want, and we want it now. And, like, people can be ugly. It's not all of you, but it's some of you. Like, you need to chill out. And so my son works at Chick-fil-A up here on Market Street. And Chick-fil-A, it's fast food mecca. Like, you would think if there's one safe place to work in food, maybe Chick-fil-A would be it. I don't see how anybody could be angry and mean and a bad person knowing that there's a Chick-fil-A sandwich in their near future. I don't see how you could get away with it. Oh, but I asked my son the other day. I was like, man, he's been there for about 3.5 years. And I said, but what are some of the things that you've learned at Chick-fil-A? Like, he's been there a long time. He's in leadership there. I'm thinking he's going to say something about leadership. He's going to say something about work ethic. Those things are true. He said, what have I learned? I've learned that people are mean. People are mean. That was his takeaway. He comes home like every day with some crazy story. Like, I mean, he gets cussed at every single day. People have thrown things at him. The other day, there was this interesting story with this woman. She got an 8-piece nugget, and she was very upset and a little bit irate because she wanted 16 mayonnaise packets. I don't know how any math wizards in here, but like, do the math. Okay, so 8 is 16. The math equals, that's too much mayonnaise. That's way too much mayonnaise. And so, like, I think they gave her like 2 to start with, like a reasonable person might get. She's like, can I have more mayonnaise? Sure, one more. Can I have more mayonnaise? Sure, one more, one more, one more, one more. And they get up to 10. 10 mayonnaise. Like, a Chick-fil-A employee will give you their own shoes. Like, and my pleasure, right? They're like the friendliest people. But at some point, it's like, hey, that's too much mayonnaise. Like, I'm worried about your health at this point, ma'am. It's 10 mayonnaises. And so she just throws a fit. So, I mean, that, people are the worst. People can be the worst. The other day, he was working in the drive-thru, and he said that he broke up a fist fight between 2 grown women who got out of separate cars, that their 2 cars were separated by a police car. They got out to fight each other in the parking lot. And my son was just there with his little iPad. He was in the movie, like, what? And my son's a pretty big kid. He was just like, ho, 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 we're not doing this. Police got involved. People can be the worst. And here's what I want us to pray about. If that's happening at Chick-fil-A, nobody's safe. If you've ever had an interaction with another human being, you know that people can be difficult. You know who else is aware of this? God. He knows this about us. He is extremely aware of how difficult we can be. This week, we're in the second week of a teaching series where we're going through a bunch of scriptures that give us like the most common command in the Bible. And it kind of comes, the idea, like over 60 times, just about 60 times in the New Testament at least, there's this basic command that's basically like this. Stop it. Get along with each other. It's something like that. That's my paraphrase. We're actually following a Greek word, allelon, and it's actually on the wall behind me. It's translated a lot of times one another, or each other. And there's these commands like encourage one another, love one another. We talked about that last week. Look out for each other and train each other and teach each other, do all these things. And so these one another passages, they're a really big deal. So we decided, let's take a look at a bunch of these, because if it's so prominent in Scripture and it's so important to God, and if the summary of all of them is basically this, you guys need to learn how to get along, then we need to understand what it looks like to do that. So if you got a Bible, grab it. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. If you need a Bible today, we've got free ones we give away every week. They're in the lobby. You're always welcome to grab one now or later. It's yours to keep if you want it. Put your name in the front of it. It's your Bible. Or if you just want to borrow it for the service and put it back afterwards, that's also cool. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3, which is a teaching. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And chapter 3 is a robust chapter. In fact, if I could give you a homework assignment this week, I think I would say read Colossians chapter 3. It's powerful. It's packed. Maybe read it just a couple verses a time each day. Journal it or pray through it or something. It's really powerful. We're going to land in verse 13 that really kind of speaks all by itself. I don't like pulling things out of context, but this is straight in the context of what we're talking about. Colossians chapter 3:13. We're just going to read it one time, okay? Just read it, take it in. We're going to read it 3 or 4 times this morning. The Apostle Paul says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. Of all the one another passages in the New Testament, scholars have divided them sometimes into like three thirds. Last week we talked about love one another. There's a lot of love one another passages. And one of those thirds is what you might just call unity passages. This is one of them. Get along with each other. People can be the worst, but get along with each other. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. Forgive as God forgave you. Because God knows that it's hard for us to get along. And he knows that we need to work on this thing. When I was a kid, my mom and dad are actually here today. Hey, guys. I'm so happy to have you here. Dad was a preacher at a church in Wilson, North Carolina for almost 40 years, the same church. But for the first couple of years that he was there as the preacher, we actually lived in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And at the time, the highways weren't what they are today. It was like over 2 hours drive to get there. And every single weekend for like 3 years, my family drove like almost 6 hours to go to church. And so I got a little brother, his name is Jason, and man, we were in like a 1984 two-door Chevy Blazer. And there's a scientific fact that you need to understand. They've done research on this. It's documented. There's all kinds of... That if you put two little boys in the back seat of a 1984 Chevy Blazer two-door for long enough, they will eventually kill each other. That's a scientific fact that's been documented. Okay, there will be no survivors. So my mom had to work really hard to keep us both alive. That was her job. And so on these road trips, mom's reading us books, and she's telling us stories, and we sang songs. And we had a cassette player, so we're listening to whatever we can put on. And like we brought toys, and there was an imaginary line in the middle. I can still see it. It's burned into my mind, even though it was imaginary. And you do not cross that line. Or else. And let me tell you, we found out what "or else" means. If you're curious, I'll tell you about it. It involves pulling the car over, I'll tell you that much. And so, like, I'm thankful to say that my brother and I have both survived into our 40s, thanks to my mom's efforts. I'm also happy to say this, and you can continue to pray for them. My mom and dad have almost recovered from those years. They're just about there. Because people can be the worst, even the people you love the most, your family. But you cram each other into a can long enough, man, you'll go bonkers with it. And so, Colossians 3:13, listen, bear with each other, forgive one another if anyone has a grievance towards someone, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. So what I want to do this morning is break up that passage. We're going to look at a couple of the scriptures too, but this is our anchor verse for the whole day. This passage into three chunks, and you can probably see them. They're right there. First chunk, bear with each other. Second chunk, forgive one another. Third chunk, as Christ forgave you. Let's jump into that. Bear with one another. This word, this is originally written in Greek, and the word that it's translated from can be understood or translated as be patient with, have patience, to endure, to accept. That's what it means to bear. My favorite translation, and this is a legitimate translation of this word, is to put up with, to put up with. One of the greatest expressions of love is being able to put up with people. You find someone's been married 30, 40, 50 years, you found some people that put up with some stuff. That's love. That's how you love. You endure. One other translation is long suffering. This is to put up with. Even Jesus, the only perfect person to ever live, had to put up with some people. I love this passage. It's so grounding for me. Luke chapter 9, verse 41, Jesus is doing some stuff with the disciples. The context doesn't matter because the quote is gold. He comes out. He's talking to his disciples. He's expecting something different from them, but they're not doing what he thinks they should do. And he goes, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" Same word, same Greek word, put up, to bear with. So what does it mean to put up with? How do we do that? You felt that way. Side note, by the way, if you've ever like reached the end of your rope with somebody, it's okay, you're in good company. Jesus did it. I need to also tell you that the rest of the story involved Jesus after probably taking a deep breath and counting to 20. He did go and help his friends do what they needed to do. And so, like, you can reach the end of your line, but you've got to keep yourself under control. Jesus said, the world will know that we are his disciples. I said this last week. They will know his disciples if we love one another. And part of loving people is putting up with them. Putting up with their crazy antics, the mess that you can't stand, that thing that drives you crazy, being able to find a place inside of you that goes, okay. I'm not saying you got to stand and then take it all the time, but how do we move forward? And so, like, I said there's like a third of those one another passages or these unity passages. And I want to read you a couple of these because they give us some specifics of how we put up with. Like, for example, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. If you're a note taker, just jot these down. They'll be on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, the Apostle Paul says, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." That's that word again, be patient with. And so there's some specific ways we put up with each other. Like, warn people who are being idle and disruptive. We don't just let everybody do whatever they want to do all the time. Instruction and discipline, that's what discipleship is. Like, to follow Jesus is to become a disciple. A disciple is a follower, a learner. And so sometimes someone needs to speak into your life and be like, that's not best. That's not best. Let me help you do better. But that's maybe a way that we can put up with each other is having an encouraging word. And the next one, encourage the disheartened. Encouraging is part of putting up with each other. Sometimes people are just down. And it's like, man, they're, whew. But you know what? They just need a word from you. They need a hug. They need a gift. They need a handshake. They need a word of affirmation to say like, yeah, you're doing good in this area. You can make it. And he says, and be patient with each other. He says, help the weak. That's an interesting thought. Help the weak. We could dive into that a lot more. But the idea that like some people just need a little extra help. There's a lot of different weak that you could have. I mean, just think of all the different ways we could be stronger and weaker than someone else. And to come along somebody, beside somebody, and say, man, let me lift you up. Let me give you some strength that you might not have. Here's another one, Ephesians 4:2. This is just another one of those unity passages. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, there it is again, bearing with one another. I want to focus on those first two. Be completely humble and gentle. We're going to talk about humility a lot next week. Next week is Easter, and we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, which is one of my, such a good passage in the Bible. It talks about who Jesus is and what he did. But humility is this idea. Even if someone is you've had it up to here with them, humility is the idea that says, you first. Like, humility says, I'm not better than you, and I'm willing to let you go first. Others first. That's my summary for humility. Others first, others first, others first. That's how we bear with each other. Sometimes just letting other people have the upper hand is sometimes the way that we find peace and we love people. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Gentle is an interesting word. I love the word gentle. You can't be gentle if you're a weak person. Only strong people can be gentle. Because to be gentle means to, like, withhold, you know, some of that strength. And sometimes we have to do that as we bear with people. And parents, we might get pretty heavy-handed vocally or physically. I don't think any child has ever learned anything, ever, by being screamed at in anger. They might have learned, I can be scared of my parent. They might have learned that. But like gentleness is about like, okay, let me see if I can handle this. Like it's the way a big, grown, muscular man might hold a newborn baby, you know? And so that's about bearing with each other sometimes. And then you can look again at another passage in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind. Actually, let me pause right there. You want to read that again? Just take it in. Be kind. Kindness might be the single most underrated soft skill in the world. We are so brutal. Kindness is out the window. We use sarcasm and humor to cover things up, but in the midst of things, sometimes we just leave carnage of people's feelings on the floor. We cut people down, and if people are against what we might be for, suddenly we find ourselves being all kinds of unkind. And kindness is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our life. And so if you have that in you, kindness should be something that you exude, that people look at them and say, that person is kind. It's not like optional. It's not optional. It's what God expects from us. So I could go off on a soapbox, but we can keep going. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Compassionate is like walking a mile in another person's shoes, seeing the world through their sunglasses. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to understand you. The Latin roots for compassion are pretty cool. That first three words, cum, means with. And that passion word actually kind of means like suffering together. So like compassion is like, I'm doing this with you. I'm coming down on your level. And this is what it means to bear with, to put up with. I'm on my last nerve with you, but you know what? Can I find the humanity in you enough to understand that you just need a little hand. And this is Jesus stuff. This is what it means to love one another. So let me ask you a question. I need you to start thinking about this because you're going to need it later this morning, a little exercise we're going to do. But I want you to think about, who is it that is driving you crazy right now? Like, oh my goodness, they're so bonkers. They get on my nerves. I can't stand them being in the room. Like, maybe it's not that severe. Maybe it is. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it that's trying to get 16 packets of mayonnaise from you right now? And you're like, that's ridiculous. Like, who is that person? Who is it that's being idle and disruptive in your life? Or who is it that's in need of encouragement? Or who's disheartened and suffering? Like, who's that person that just takes extra energy and, oh my goodness, like, who is it? Think about them. You might want to write their name down. And unless they're sitting next to you right now, that would be awkward. Don't do that. Maybe just kind of think about it quietly. Think about it, because you're going to need to think about them in a minute. We're going to try to heal that in you in just a minute, okay? But who is that? What can you do to show them the love of God through putting up with them? Through kindness, gentleness, patience, encouragement, or maybe through warnings and instruction, teaching in love. That's scripture. In love and patience. God puts up with a lot from us. And so what he wants us to do is learn how to live as the type of people who put up with other people. So, okay, hold that thought, because this is kind of like a two-sided coin here. And we've looked really good at the one side of the coin. And you put up with people that, like, you kind of got to be with, right? This is kind of, you put up with them and they're in your life. But if you flip the coin, you get to the other side of this conversation, which is, I've heard people call this an F word, forgiveness. Because on the other side of the coin is a person that you've had it. I'm no longer in wanting this anymore, right? So it depends on the scale of forgiveness that you're on. Let's read our passage again, Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other. We got that, check. We talked about that. So you got something to think about. And forgive one another if any of you has a grievance towards someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So what is forgiveness? Let's talk about forgiveness for just a minute. Jesus taught a lot about forgiveness. He was with his disciples one time, and he kind of gave this, like, he laid down a gauntlet on forgiveness at one point when he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 14, he said, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. We like that. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't like this scripture because it conflicts with this little piece of my brain that teaches a lot about God's grace and his forgiveness. And so part of me looks at this and go like, wait, but I thought you forgive me no matter what. But this, don't get mad at me. These are Jesus's words. So it's up to us to figure out how to live them out. But he says what he says. It's like, what I think this really means is that's how big of a deal it is to Jesus. I really want you to forgive people. A few chapters later, this is Matthew chapter 18, so just fast forward, I think, like 12 chapters. But in chapter 18, I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you need another homework assignment for your Bible reading this week, Matthew chapter 18, great chapter in the Bible. I'm not going to read this whole story to you, but I'm going to summarize some of it. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. So Jesus is teaching a little bit about forgiveness, and he goes into this parable, and he says there's this servant who owes his master a huge amount of money. Like, it's a massive amount of money. He uses a number so big that it's clear to the audience that, like, this guy's not going to be able to pay this off. He's not going to ever... It's like if you went to college, right? Okay, so it's that amount of money. And so you're not going to be able to pay this off. It's just not going to happen on the salary that you make. You're not going to pay this off anytime soon. So he goes to the master who said, okay, your debt is due to me. And let's just read a little bit of it. Matthew 18, verse 26. The servant fell on his knees before the master and he said, be patient with me, he begged. And I will pay you back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him. And he said, okay, fine. I'll give you a 6-week extension. Actually, it's better than that. What does it say? He says, I will forgive you the whole debt. Can you imagine? Just go to this guy's life real quick. If the bank came to you and said, you know that mortgage that we're real serious about? Forget about it. You don't owe us anything anymore. Like, imagine how life-altering that would be to be out from underneath that level of debt. The man walks out just overjoyed. Forgiveness is also a financial term. So I think that God might have chose that because he understands how much we love our money. I don't know. But like that's to forgive a debt is the same idea of the forgiveness that we talk about with other people. So he walks out of the house and I guess he runs into this fellow servant on the sidewalk outside. Now when he sees this guy, he remembers, oh yeah, that guy owes me $10. Jesus didn't say 10 bucks, but the amount of money he says is like, it's a small amount of money. Like, he could pay it back. Like, just give me another couple of days. I'll have the money. I'll get it to you. I'll pay you back. You bought my lunch last week. Thanks. I'll pay you back. But this guy goes irate when he sees this guy. This guy who has just received forgiveness, great forgiveness, ginormous forgiveness, and now has the opportunity to pay it forward. If you know the story, hang with me. Don't get lost in it. This is huge. This is your life. Jesus is talking to me and you. He has the opportunity to pay forward the forgiveness, but what does he do? Jesus says it. Jesus said, the man grabbed him and began to choke him. And he said, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and he begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off. He had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. What in the world? Like, what kind of guy is this? Now, Jesus is obviously setting up a story, but man, what's interesting is this parallels to a lot of our life sometimes. Hang with it. Jesus was a little fed up with it too. Listen how he kind of gets to the end of this story. He says, so the master called the servant in. The original master calls the first servant in. He said, you wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. So shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just like I had on you? But in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Which is interesting. That doesn't pay well, torture. So I don't know how he was going to pay back the debt. But that just shows God's heart about forgiveness. Verse 35, this then is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters. You guys should know me by now, most of you. I'm not a hellfire and damnation dude, okay? I'm big on love and grace. But Jesus is very serious about this forgiveness stuff. You've been forgiven much. Put up with each other. Bear with one another. Forgive someone whom you have a grievance against. And I think the reason this is so hard is because if you've ever had a grievance towards someone, you know there might be a really good reason for it. I mean, they hurt you. They may have ruined something that you held dear. They may have caused you trauma. They may have done you physical harm or violated you in a way that should never be done. They caused you great anger. Like, you've got good reason to be upset. And forgiving them is the last thing you want to do, because it's like, if I forgive them, it's like I'm saying that everything they did was okay. If I forgive them. If I forgive them, it's like, I'm cool, I'm fine now. And I'm not fine. Or maybe you don't want to forgive them because it's like, it's the only thing you can hold on to leverage against them. I just want to be mad. And if you feel that way, man, that makes sense. It makes sense. It's human, isn't it? I think God understands that about it. I think that's why he teaches about it. He understands that's natural for us. But you know what? Forgiveness is not about telling people that what they did was okay. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not about saying, I'm okay now. That's not what that is. That's what friendship and therapy are for. And time. It takes time to get okay. Forgiveness, in fact, at least at the beginning, is actually not even for them. Because you know what? They may not care. They may not have thought about that thing since it happened. And it keeps you awake at night, but they haven't lost a minute of sleep. You forgiving them wouldn't change their life at all. At first, at least, it's not for them at all. I think it can be eventually, but it's not at first. At first, forgiveness is for you. It's for you to open up your heart and you to say, okay, I'm no longer going to be frozen in the moment in which this offense took place to me. It's been said that unforgiveness is like a time machine that locks you in place in the moment when something bad happened, and I can't move past it. Forgiveness is you looking to God and opening up your heart to him and saying, I'm ready to move past this. I'm ready to move on. And when that begins to happen, something amazing happens. God moves in. He begins to do some healing. He begins to bring you some peace. He allows you to move forward. That may never be resolved. Some things are unresolvable. But at least you can move forward in faith, knowing, God, I'm trusting you to help me through this thing. I need to learn to trust people again. I need to learn to move forward. I need to learn to love myself again. Forgiveness starts out being for you, but then this is really neat. In time and with healing, it actually might reciprocate to the relationship. In fact, I think, as I thought about it a lot, as I typed out this sentence, I think that most forgiveness can lead to reconciliation. There are probably just a short list of things that are unreconcilable. But most things, if you're just honest with each other, and if the other person is willing to say, I'm so sorry. Like, if you get to that point, man, Jesus' goal, his last prayer for us before he left this world was unity. He said, Father, let them be one as I am in you and you are in me and I am in them. Let them be one. Let them be unified. That's what God's biggest desire is for us. And it doesn't mean in forgiving them that we're approving of their faults or we're approving of their failure or we're approving of their sin. In fact, perhaps in time, in love, we can even help them through all that. But forgiveness is about healing. And it's about following what Jesus wants us to do. And I think that that's why. I think it helps us understand our relationship with God. It's so difficult, but it's so important. And so let's look at our passage again. We did too. Bear with one another. Check. You're experts now. You can teach a sermon on that. Number two, forgive one another if anyone has grievance against someone. We're probably not experts on that yet. We probably got some work we need to do. But we know the heart of God. And the third one really helps. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This idea of unity and loving each other and putting up with people despite their faults and forgiveness, this was modeled by Jesus. God himself, the creator of all things, put on skin, became a human, and moved down to this world where people can be the worst. Last week I read Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and I want to remind you of it. God demonstrates his own love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Next week is Easter. On the Christian calendar, that makes this week what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And if you don't know the story, or even if you do, this is kind of fun. This is a thought experiment that really makes you understand Jesus. So what happens is Jesus has become a really big deal. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people are flocking to Jesus. He's very popular. He's very famous. He's done some incredible things. He's gathering crowds by the thousands. And so there's this moment happening where he's coming into Jerusalem, and the word has begun to spread that the Messiah has arrived. Now, to this first century Jewish audience, they didn't think Messiah like, come to church on Sunday morning and what Christians think about. When they heard Messiah, they thought of it in a political and military context. This is like almost undisputed. And Jesus hits the scene and people are sick of being occupied by the Roman government. This is the Roman Empire that you studied in school. And like they are in the nation where the Jewish people live, and they were sick of it. And there was kind of this understanding that a Messiah could rise up and free them from the oppression of the Romans. And the word had spread like, this Jesus guy, like he might be it. This might be the guy. And so Jesus does this thing. He actually does it to fulfill some prophecy. He gets this like donkey, and he begins to ride into town on this beast of burden as a symbol of riding in like a king would into town. And there's a whole lot of stuff I won't even get into about it. It's kind of cool. The people hear about it, and the hordes come out, and they line the streets, and they pull down palm branches, and they begin to wave them. And this is a very political statement. This might be like taking if you're a Steelers fan, you know, the terrible towel, the yellow towel they spin around their heads. You know, like, you've got, if you're a Wolfpack fan, big game last night, by the way, and you do this thing right here, go Wolfpack. Like, I mean, when you start pulling out the palm branches, you're kind of like anointing a new king. That's basically said, hey, this is our guy. And they're singing, Hosanna, 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 save us now, Lord. And they're like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, and there's a guy making hot dogs, and this guy's doing balloon animals, and people are like, it's a parade. People are excited because the Messiah's coming to town. This is it. We're going to war. And Jesus is riding in, and the human side of Jesus, I know, had to have this moment like, this is good. This is good. There's been some hard times the last few weeks, but this is good. But the divine part of Jesus knew that in 1 week, 1 week's time, this whole crowd would turn on him. And they would begin chanting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He showed us what it looks like to put up with each other. And I don't know about you, but I've let my God down many times. But his word tells me that his mercies are new every morning. And he says, get up and try again. I love you. Get up and try again. I love you. Stop doing that, but get up and try again. I love you. Forgive as God forgave you. That's hard. That's where grace comes in. You're not going to do it perfect, but work on it. I have a challenge for you this week. Earlier, I gave you an exercise. Think about that person that's driving you crazy. Probably you haven't listened to anything I said since then because they're getting on your nerves right now. You got that person in your mind? Maybe it's a whole bunch of people. Maybe it's a people group. Maybe it's an entire political party. Maybe it's an entire neighborhood. Like, seriously, we're the worst. Think about that person. Okay, this is a two-part challenge. And we do a challenge every single week. I know some of you write them down. If you want to write them down, here's the challenge. It's not going to be on the screen because I want you to think and I want you to write. Right now, I want you to think of the person that you have the hardest time putting up with. This is simple. If you don't have that person in your mind, are you that person? But you probably have somebody. And maybe you've worked on this a lot in your heart. So it's like, not terrible. It's just like, okay, there's this one person. She kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. Okay. But you got the person? That's the first. Think about them. Don't think about them too hard because you might get angry. Second part. This week, my challenge for you is to commit to praying for that person every day by name 2 times a day. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that's more than a lot of us pray at all. That's how committed Jesus is to talking about forgiveness and bearing with each other. That maybe even if you don't have a great prayer habit right now, that your prayer habit is going to be revolving around the person that you can't stand the most. I think it will, one, teach you to forgive. It will teach you to love. It will teach you to show compassion, to be kind. But I think more than anything, it'll make you more aware of the kindness of our God. Because he lays it all down for you. That's a big challenge, but I'll challenge you to do it. 2 times a day, every day. If you miss a day, do it 4 times. You don't have to be legalistic about it, but you can if you want to. It might help you. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer leads to healing. Prayer leads to awareness of God's presence in our life. And I want to say, you might be in here this morning and like, Christianity and Jesus and God is not really your thing right now, actually. You're just here because your friend invited you because they're excited because the church is doing 2 services and they brought you today. You're like, I came. Ooh, I hope they don't want me to do this every single week. This dude wants me to forgive that dude. I don't want to do that. But let me tell you, if that's you, I want you to know something. The forgiveness of God is available to you. And it requires very little from us, actually. Just submission. Just standing in vulnerable before him and saying, all right, I want that. We see in Scripture that when someone decides to turn their heart back to God, they can get baptized. We've had 2 baptisms in the last 2 weeks right here in this tank right here. We can fill it up today if you want to. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, I want to start fresh. There's a beautiful imagery in baptism of going down into water and like burying the old self and then being raised to walk in newness of life. That's like the imagery that's there. It's beautiful. But it's this commitment. So maybe that's you. Or maybe you just want to like, I got questions. I talked about this Venture Basics class earlier. Maybe for you, like, okay, I'm behind that, but I need to learn more. Just come to the class. No one's asking you to sign your life away to a religion. I'm not a big fan of religion myself. But there's a lifestyle that Jesus calls us to. And maybe you can learn more about that and have some answers. People can be the worst. They can. But can I give you a twist? Can you imagine this world with no people in it? Some of you are like, yes, I think about that every day. Seriously, like where would you get your Chick-fil-A sandwiches from? I mean, we need people in this world. Check this out. God had the opportunity to do anything he wanted with creation. Anything he wanted. Knowing how jacked up we would be, he still decided to create a world with people in it rather than a world with people not in it. I love the people in my life, and I think you do too. People change lives. People are the hands and feet of God in this world. And we've got good news for people. The good news that God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to live eternally separated from God's presence, but can have eternal life in him, beginning now on this earth as we partner with him to build his kingdom here now. Guys, we're so much better together. Let's be people of God who know what it means to love one another, who will put up with people, who will forgive when we need to, because God forgave us. Let me pray for us today.